I, for some time, I was thinking to give a series of lectures on Vishnu Sahasranama. I don't know if it would come to 1,000 lectures. Maybe it would. Vishnu Sahasranama, of course, we don't generally chant that. We chant, what do we chant? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because everything's there. But it's not that there's anything wrong with that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he published an edition of the Vishnu Sahasranama, and he stated that the great jewels or the great value of the Mahabharata are Bhagavad Gita and Vishnu Sahasranama. Baladev, he published it with Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary. We find also that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, one time he asked Srivas Thakur to recite Vishnu Sahasranama, which suggests that it was expected that every Brahmin, Srivas was from a Brahmin family, every Brahmin at least would know that, because from they'd grow up, or even before they're born in the womb, they'd be hearing it regularly recited, and they'd grow up with that. It would be just like completely normal for them to chant that. So it's by studying this, we see different or understand different qualities of Krishna, who is Vishnu, and can appreciate who is this person, Krishna, whose name we are every day chanting as the Hare Krishna mantra. Krishna recommends that we surrender to him. Who is this person that we are making such a great commitment to, that we can understand from this Vishnu Sahasranama? What's that? You're telling me to sit straight? There are more than one in Shastra, but this one from Mahabharata, spoken by Bhishma Pitamaha, is the most famous one, the one that's mostly chanted. Okay, so the first name is Vishva, which is a common word in Sanskrit and in Indian languages. It's a well-known word, which means the universe, or the etymologically it means that, or in this case, who pervades everything. Now the sound became maybe a little too much. So if we are influenced by impersonal understanding, we may think that from the outset the Vishnu Sahasranam is giving us an impersonal understanding, because the universe means everything. So we might think that, well, everything is just Vishnu, or everything is Bhagavan, so it's all the same. But that is not, of course, that is not at all the intention. We shouldn't take it like that. But I saw one commentary given by some Sri Vaishnavas, in which they gave up the understanding that Vishva means that which is complete in all respects. This is the name of Vishnu, means that which points that to his essential nature, qualities, and glory, which are that is his inherent nature. to be full of all good qualities, to be complete in all respects, that he is undiminishing. He didn't acquire his qualities by any sadhana, but he is eternally complete, perfect, pure. So this is somewhat synonymous with the term Purna. So Krishna is the universe. Not only, of course, there's this universe, there are multiple Brahmandas. And there's the spiritual. When we say Vishva, we may think of one Brahmanda or one universe. From Shastra we understand there are, of course, the term universe means only one. Uni means one. But Shastric understanding is that there are many, many Brahmandas or material universes, and that beyond that there is the spiritual universe. So Krishna is the substantive principle of everything. So in this way he may be called Vishva. In the Moksha Dharma Mahabharata it's stated that Bhagavan is called the Vishva because he enters all the worlds. We find in the Purusha Sukta, as also in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that all the different elements and all the different demigods, they entered into the world, but still it didn't come to life until he, Vishnu, entered. So he is, that's another name of his which will come in Vishnu Sahasranam, Vishvatma. He is the life of the universe, and in that sense he is the universe. Everything, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, everything is within him, yet he is separate from it. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastita. Everything is within him, yet he is separate from everything. Pashyame yoga maishvara. Just see how his mystic opulence, how he is everything, and at the same time he is, we just can't call anything and everything Krishna. That is a mistake, to think that everything is in all respects not the same as Krishna, but at the same time nothing is separate from Krishna. So this essential understanding, how nothing is separate from Krishna, but at the same time Krishna, the person, that is his identity, and everything is dependent on Krishna. He is within everything. Everything is within Krishna, but he is still, in another sense, separate from everything, in that he is his own individual personality. Not that God is everything, therefore God has no particular identity. That is a misunderstanding. The Bhagavatam also states, idang hi Vishvam Bhagavan. This Vishva is Bhagavan, Ivetara. But still, it's different also. Idangi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetara. Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhava. By him, this Jagat is created, maintained, and destroyed. So there we have two words in the same verse, Vishva and Jagat, which are synonyms. They both mean the same thing. But it means the same thing, but described in a different way. Just like, for instance, if we say that Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's true, right? If we say that he's the seventh avatar of Vishnu, did I get it right? Yeah, that's also true. We can say Ramachandra Bhagavan. We can say Vishnu avatar. We can say Dasharath Suta, the son of Dasharath. We can say Sitapati, the husband of Sita. So it all refers to the same person, but describing in a different way. So that's the whole Vishnu Sahasranama. The same person, but describing different elements of features of his personality. So Vishva means that which is everything, and Jagat means Gachatiti Jagat, that which is always moving, and what is, or that which is always changing. So what is that? That's stated here: Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhava. That in this material world, there is creation, maintenance, and destruction. And that is effected by him. Yatova imani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisang vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. This is the description of the Upanishads. That Brahman, or the Supreme Person, is that from which everything is manifested, by which everything is maintained, into which everything enters. That is the proper subject for inquiry. So if we see one word, we'll see, if we go a little deep, there'll be so many understandings that come out of it. So, Krishna is everything. That's the point, that by studying the qualities of Krishna, or hearing the qualities of Krishna, or hearing his many names, we should be able to develop the consciousness of seeing Krishna everywhere, because nothing is different, in one sense, nothing is different from Krishna. Everything is manifested by Krishna. That is, we in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in the middle of describing all this yoga system, he comes out with the verse of pure devotion, Yomang Pashyati Saravatra Sarvang Chayamai Pashyati Tasyahang Napranashami Sachamam Napranashami. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. So, seeing Krishna everywhere, if we understand everything is a manifestation of Krishna, everything is non-different from Krishna. Now there are different levels of seeing Krishna everywhere. That should be the goal of a devotee, isn't it? Krishna says, Manmana, always think of me. Bhava mad bhaktaha, become my devotee. We can always think of Krishna if we see. One way of doing that is that to see that everything is a manifestation of Krishna. And Krishna gives the idea how to do that in Bhagavad Gita. Rasoham apsu kaunteya. If we drink water, we can think that flavor is Krishna. Any flavor in any liquid that we can think, that is Krishna. Rasoham apse kontiya prabhasmi shashi surya yoho. Krishna is the light of the sun and the moon. Shabda ke, any noise, all the time there's some sound, especially here. And Iskon Secunderabad. But that sound is Krishna. Pranava sarva vedeshu. In Vedic culture, if we're living in Vedic culture, we'll regularly hear the chanting, Omkar. Om. Om tad Vishnu paramam padam sada paschanti suri. All the time we hear Om chanted. So that is Krishna. Krishna is the sound in ether. Krishna is the ability in man. Krishna is the strength of the strong. If we see some strong man, there's physical strength and then there's political strength. Someone may be very powerful politically. That strength comes from Krishna. Someone is very energetic and vigorous. Tejas, tejas vinamaham. Everything, we find the Vibhuti Yoga chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is even dyutam chalyatam asmi. Krishna is the gambling of cheats. So everything we can see, Krishna, by telling all these different things, Krishna is giving us the vision that we can see Him in everything. We cannot do anything without Krishna, because everything is under the direction of Krishna. Everything is within Krishna. So that's one level of seeing everything in the universe as Krishna. And on the very high level of Krishna consciousness, devotees, they literally see Krishna. That there's one verse Srila Prabhupada quotes quite often, Tarva jangam deke na deke tar murti sarvatra nija ishta deva skurti. That whatever one, a great devotee sees, moving, non-moving, this is the, he doesn't exactly see them, but he sees Krishna everywhere. Elsewhere in Chaitanya Charita, a similar verse is there, that Krishna tomar gara prema hoy jaha netra pare taha Sri Krishna svara. That if someone who has very deep love for Krishna, they'll only see Krishna all the time. Now you can just imagine, or you may have had this experience, if there's someone who's very close to you, and then you get the news that that person is an accident, or they may die, or they do die, then whatever else is going on in the world, you just can't think of that. You're just thinking of that person who's very close to you, because of the loving relationship. Maybe you don't even want to eat, or you can't eat, or you can't sleep, because you're just absorbed in thought of that person. So that is Krishna consciousness. To be in that state all the time. In the material world, if someone who's very close to you dies, generally you get over it sometime. You may feel very upset for some time. Then you gradually adjust and you go on with life. But the great devotees who are absorbed in love of Krishna, they're in that state all the time, and it actually intensifies all the time. That is Krishna consciousness. They're always thinking of Krishna, so that they see Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, it's a common question, a challenging question, put, have you seen God? Can you see God? And Srila Prabhupada answered, well, will you accept what I say? Because there's no way to measure, if you can't measure if someone's what they're seeing actually. So he said, well, if I tell you, will you accept what I say? He said, yes. And Prabhupada said, yes, I'm seeing Krishna 24 hours a day. Always seeing Krishna. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochane santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarup Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. One whose eyes have got this ointment of prema. They always see Govinda, Shama Sundar, Achintya Guna Swarupam, his inconceivable, his form of inconceivable quality manifest in their heart, says Brahma. And from Chaitanya Charitamrita we find that not only in the heart but even everywhere, we'll see Krishna everywhere, with love. Now it may be that someone sees under some unusual circumstances, someone sees Krishna everywhere. Duryodhan saw. At one time, Krishna came to sue for peace. He went to see Duryodhana. Why call off this war? Come on, there's no need for a fight. Let's make peace. So Duryodhan thought, I'll capture Krishna. And then the Pandavas, because Krishna is their life, then they'll lose all their life. Then they'll be finished. So Krishna knew, because he's in everyone's heart. Krishna is the biggest tapasvi. He stays even in the heart of Duryodhana. What a horrible place to stay. See? So he knew. So then he came in and Duryodhana arranged to go. Then Krishna here, Krishna there. Everywhere, Krishna, Krishna. How many Krishnas are you going to capture? Krishna manifested everywhere. You can't capture him. Silly idea. But you can capture Krishna by love. That is how the Pandavas had captured Krishna and why Duryodhana could never capture Krishna. Because Duryodhana was thinking Krishna is an ordinary person. So we can understand that Krishna, this is a preliminary understanding. To see that this universe is non-different from him. He's within it and the universe is within him. As Mother Yashoda saw, when Krishna opened his mouth, he was under accusation of the serious crime of having eaten dirt. So there was some childish quarrel going on. So Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth to see, and she saw in his mouth a lot of dirt. Krishna denied, but she saw all the bhumirapa, the low vayu, all the earth, water, fire, air, the whole universe is in Krishna's mouth. Not a little dirt, all the earth in the whole earth planet and all the planets, a lot of earth in his mouth. So the whole universe is within Krishna. So that's a preliminary understanding. But that is important also to understand. Before we come to the the love Krishna, we who are in this universe, who are thinking that this universe is a place for me to enjoy for my own sense gratification separate from Krishna, the first thing we should understand is that we may try to be separate from Krishna, but we can never be separate from Krishna. Because he is everything and he is everywhere. And even the ability to forget him comes from him. Because matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. Even if we want to forget Krishna, we can't do so without his help. We're totally dependent upon him. So, considering Krishna as the universe, because if we think, well, how vast is that universe? And then Krishna is not different from that. This is one meditation for people who do not have spiritual vision, who are not ready or inclined to understand that Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, his form is entirely spiritual. People are in material consciousness but aspiring to come to spiritual consciousness, they are recommended to meditate on the Vishvarup, the universe as a representation or seeing God as the universe. Actually, He's much more than the universe. That is, for people who are told just in material consciousness and enamored of the material world, they may see that the universe is God for them at that level. So there's the descriptions, the mountains and the rocks here in Andhra Pradesh or Telangana, whichever you want to call it. There are plenty of, actually all of what's Andhra Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh, there are plenty of rocks and hills. So when we see that, we can remember the description that the rocky mountains, that is the bones of the Vishnu. Then we say, okay, that's the bones of God. And the rivers, they're like His veins. And the Brahmanas, they come from His head, and the Kshatriyas come from His chest. So in this way, there are so many descriptions so that we can see this universe as God. And like I say, we have to progress from that to understand the personal understanding. Not I say, I mean Shukadeva Goswami has given this way of seeing. So this universe, how great is this universe? We cannot imagine. Our scientists, they talk of light years. How far away is this star? If you look in the sky at night, you can't see any stars in the city, but if you go out, I've just been in the village, not even the village, in the field for the last few weeks. And there's no neon lights, so we can see the stars. How many millions of stars? And the scientists tell us, well, this star is so many light years away. That's so many light years away. Such a long distance. How vast is the universe? So then we can think, oh, how great is God? Because this universe, He is the universe. He has manifested the universe. The universe is resting in Him. Ultimately, it's destroyed by Him. We can see how small we are. How great is the universe? But then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to put that in even greater perspective, even to understand our smallness even more, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this universe is like one mustard seed in a big bag of mustard seeds. So if you're carrying a bag of mustard seeds, of course, mostly the coolies do that. I don't think there are any coolies here. But anyway, there's a bag of mustard seed and one mustard seed drops out. I don't think if one coolie is bringing mustard seeds from the wholesaler to the Kirana shop, and the shop proprietor who's bought the seeds, even however miserly they may be, they won't complain if one mustard seed drops out of a bag. Is it? Because one mustard seed, it's very insignificant. Or the ladies when they're cooking, if there's some mustard seed and one drops on the floor and they doesn't go inside the pot, they're not going to go down on the floor and look. Where is that mustard seed? It's just if they drop the whole spoonful, you might get the jaru and sweep it up. But one mustard seed, you won't bother about. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this whole universe, there are so many universes that this whole universe is just like one mustard seed. So if one is lost, or it's what does it matter? In other words, our position is so insignificant. We can just imagine how great is Krishna, that to call Him the universe is, of course, it's true, but it's not his main glory. Because to him, even one universe or even the whole, all the universes, if you're the owner of the big agro business company and one sack of mustard seeds goes missing, that won't be a major loss to you. So like millions of trillions of universes, to compared to Krishna, it's all, anyway, it all comes into being simply by his desire. He's just sleeping as Mahavishnu, and the universes are coming out of his body in seed form. Breathes out, the universes come out. Breathes in, they all come in. He's just sleeping. Yoga Nidra, that's his enjoyment. So, first of all, by seeing that he is the substantive principle of all the universes, he pervades everything, we can just imagine how great is he and how small are we. And that is the beginning of God consciousness. Because in material consciousness, we're always thinking, how great am I? Who is God? Ishvaro ham. Aham bhogi. You don't know? You're in Maya. You don't know who God is? I'm God. Foolish people think like this. We can just understand how very small we are. It may seem to someone who's very powerful, it may seem that they are God. To Kamsa, may have seemed, because he can just say, he can go order, you kill so many people. People are afraid of him. So when he goes in the city, people think, oh, he's very powerful. It may feel to him that he's God. Or if the chief minister of Andhra Pradesh comes, and then you see there'll be a big arrangement and big police bandobast. Every time he steps outside, it costs a crore of rupees for the whole police bandobast and all this. So, and people, the press reporters will be coming, taking photos and asking questions, and he has to sign, sanction this. So it may seem to him and to others that he's all powerful. That illusion will be there. But it's an illusion, because he's in that position for a very short time, and he's in a position of tremendous influence in a very small area. But it may seem to them, it's just for they get that exhilaration for a short time of feeling like God. But the actual Bhagavan is the proprietor of millions of universes, which he manifests even without effort. There is a picture in Greek mythology of the person called Atlas, who's holding the earth planet and bending down with the strain of holding it. But Krishna, it's described, the whole universe is held on Ananta Shesh, on one of his hoods. And again, like a mustard seed, just like if a mustard seed gets in your hair, you don't even notice it. It's not like you're straining from the weight. There's no weight. So for Krishna, it's no strain, no pain. All to create, maintain, and destroy the universe is no problem for him. If we have to manage even one family, it's a big headache. If you have to manage a whole corporation or management of anything, it's a big headache. But for Krishna, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha tamishvaranam paramam maheshvaram. For him, just by his energies, everything's going on very nicely. He doesn't have to bother managing anything. He's there officially. But what's he doing? He's dancing. Time to dance. All the time in the world, because all the world is his. And it all functions under his direction. So many things. Anything more I got to say? Yeah, so Krishna has many names. They all mean the same person. Yeah, that I was saying. Vishva, Jagat, it's the same thing from... It's the same entity, but described in a different way. So, Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is, we could say, the official aspect of Krishna, because he has unlimited qualities. Ananta Kalyana Guna. He has unlimited qualities which are all beneficial for the world. Therefore, he may be described in different ways. And for this reason, there are at least 1,000 names, and actually unlimited names for Krishna, of which the first is Vishva. So we can see Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna, and that is Krishna consciousness. So if you all bless me and Srila Prabhupada is pleased, then 999 lectures later we'll complete this. But then there's Balaram Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam, Gauranga, there are so many, so there's no end. No end to the glories of Krishna. If we pass our time glorifying Krishna, that will be the success of our life. So, if we don't finish in this life, well, Jivesu Rupoi Krishna Nitya Das, we can go on lifetime after lifetime glorifying Krishna. And there'll never be an end to it, because Ananta Shesh, he has unlimited mouths, and with each mouth he's glorifying Krishna, and he never repeats himself, and he never comes to any end, and nor will he come to any end, because Krishna is himself Ananta. There's no end to his glories. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments about this?
Actually, he is praising Krishna from so many billions and trillions of years. Like
Balaram is praising Krishna from so many millions and trillions of years.
He has just completed 35%, I have heard it.
He completed 35%. Yes, he completed 35%. I never heard this before. But it's 35% of infinity, which, how much does that come to? 35% of infinity is the same as 0.00000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 There's no end to Krishna's promise. So if you say 35%, I never heard 35%, but it may be 35%. But then Krishna's glories are unlimited, so 35% of unlimited is still a long way to go. No end. Hare Krishna.